everyone, and welcome to another transmission of galactic proportions coming to you from Otherwhere headquarters in Melbourne, Australia. Hope you've all had a marvellous time since we were last together, and that you're ready to settle in for the next couple of hours, as this week's program promises to have you riveted to your seats as I welcome first-time guest, Reverse Speech founder David John Oates. It's another installment in a series of shows focusing on Aussies that make me feel proud to be Australian, and it's going to be a goodie. Together we'll be exploring the secrets of the unconscious mind through a breakthrough technology that has applications in many diverse fields, from personal psychology to forensic detective work. Otherwhere comes to you, as always, via bbsradio.com, which is based in California in the US of A, where most of our listeners are. But I know that there are people from all around the world who've tuned in and are listening live, as well as in the archives. So good morning, afternoon, or evening to you, wherever you are. It's terrific to have you along, and no matter where you are in the world's time zones, the weekend is just beginning. So let all of your thoughts from the outside world just fade away as you let David John Oates and myself just take you right away from all of that, and then make sure that you're somewhere quiet and comfortable for a rejuvenating relaxation session at the end of the program. We're going to be doing something a little bit different. Seeing as David Oates is a trained hypnotherapist, I asked him if he would lead the meditation this week, and he said he'd love to. He'll be guiding us all on a journey into our subconscious minds with a modality of his own design called a metawalk. What is a metawalk? You'll just have to stay tuned to find out. And if you'd like to find out more about this show or hear any of the past guests in the archives, all you need to do is click on the link to Otherwhere. It's on the right-hand side of the bbsradio.com homepage, and you'll see my bio page and link to the archives there. And they, by the way, will be soon available, pretty much as soon as each show has been broadcast, which is wonderful news for everyone who wants to catch up on the last couple of months. And if you'd like to formally declare yourself a purveyor of good taste and all things Otherwhere related, then join me at the Otherwhere Network at Yahoo Groups, and you can get updates on the show before anybody else and meet some of the other listeners. And hello to all of the Otherwhere Network members out there. You know, I think you're all very special. And speaking of which, here's a news story that Super Sleuth and Otherwhere Network member Zany Mystic found, and I thought I'd share it for all those people out there who still love their soft drinks. And this story is published at the financialexpress.com website. In New Delhi, just a couple of days ago, MPs over there, taking serious note of findings from the Centre for Science and Environment, made a strong demand in the Lok Sabha for immediate ban on Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola and 9 other soft drinks, with members alleging that consuming them was nothing short of slow poisoning. And as they felt so strongly about it, and there was no assurance from the government on banning soft drinks, the entire opposition and also ruling party members staged a walkout. And raising the issue, Ramji Lal Suman said the findings of the CSE were shocking, as pesticide residues in soft drinks were 25 to 30 times higher than the approved limit. And that's not to mention the sugar or aspartame in the diet stuff, which is even worse, the caffeine and all of the other stuff that you find in a bottle of soft drink. And BJP Deputy Leader Prabhu Nat Singh alleged the Health Minister and the Health Secretary have come under a, quote, cloud following failure to act against multinationals manufacturing soft drinks. I think I agree. Okay, let's get into the show and let's begin with a brand new release you can't hear just anywhere. In fact, it's not out for another 3 weeks, and it's an exclusive release from US producer and DJ Kerry Chandler from a 4-track EP called June 23. It's out on Kerry's own label, Max Tracks, and it'll be out via Topplers Records in France when it is released. And this track is called The Machine. And this is one of the mixes, which is on the EP called New Interface. Hope you all enjoy it. And I'm dedicating this to my gorgeous and beloved cat, Eartha, who passed away last week at the age of 14. She was a very special and very loved family member, and she's missed dearly. And I think anyone out there who is a starseed / indigo type will know our animal companions are sometimes the only things that truly give us that feeling of home. That's with a capital H, that we often long for while we're here. And Eartha certainly gave that feeling to me. She did that for me. And so this is for you, baby. I love you, and I always will. When Otherwhere returns, Reverse Speech with David John Oates.
Hello, this is Brett Burks of the weboflove.org and wantoknow.info websites, and speaking to you from Liz Miller on Otherware and BBS Radio for a wonderful, loving, and powerful time together.
David John Oates is the founder and developer of Reverse Speech Technologies. He was the first person to ever document speech reversals in human speech in 1983, and he's worked extensively since then on research and development, furthering the field of reverse speech as his full-time occupation. He has instigated some of the first mainstream studies into reverse speech, and he's also lectured all around the world and trained hundreds of students. David Oates has been a favourite guest on many other radio shows, like Jeff Rentz's, where I first heard him, and in the United States he's appeared on dozens of television programs, including CNN's Larry King Live. In Australia, he has appeared on the Good Morning Australia, Today Tonight, A Current Affair and Today TV shows. His work has also been featured in publications such as the New York Times, Omni Magazine and Discover. David Oates, welcome to Otherware. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, you know, I've wanted to have you on the show since it began, as I really admire and respect the work that you're doing. It may have something to do with the fact that I've spent 20 years working as a club DJ, so spinning records is part of what I do for a living. So I hear reverse speech, or at least reverse singing, quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was a kid when I first heard about the hidden messages that people were discovering in, you know, Beatles and Black Sabbath records.
Right.
So I've been intrigued this whole time by the whole phenomenon. So you could imagine my delight when I tuned into Jeff Rentz quite a few years ago now and first heard you as a guest on his show. And you were from Adelaide who was not only interested in this, but you've actually discovered a way to use reverse speech in many, many different applications, including now peering into the criminal mind. It's just fascinating stuff.
Yeah, well, it's got applications in many areas. What reverse speech will do is allow us to look inside the human mind and see what's going on. If someone is lying in forced speech, you may get the truth in reverse speech. If they're leaving out information, that can also be communicated in reverse speech. And that's, of course, where reverse speech have its forensic applications, because it will tell us whether someone has actually committed the crime or not and if they've hidden any evidence. And there's a lot of other areas. You know, I use reverse speech in therapy myself. It's got amazing applications in that area. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. And it's been used in employee selection and business negotiations. So it's really got a wide, vast area of application.
Well, for those who are completely new to what reverse speech is, would you briefly explain what it is for everybody and the story behind how you made your first discovery?
Oh, right, okay. Well, basically, reverse speech is another form of human communication. The theory is that as we are speaking, we're creating the sounds of our speech in such a way that we're delivering two messages at once. One is forwards from the conscious mind, and the other one is in reverse from the unconscious. And quite literally, if you take speech and play it backwards, about once every 15 or 20 seconds, you can hear a very clear phrase amongst the gibberish that is what the unconscious mind is thinking and feeling at the time. So it's a natural form of language. It's coming from the right brain hemisphere, we believe. And as far as how did I discover it? Well, that's an interesting story. I was a youth worker before I got involved in reverse speech. And, I've always been an electronics buff. I'm a ham radio operator, and I fiddle around with the electronics until I'm 5 years old. And I was running a drop-in center for street kids, and some of the kids had heard that if you played records backwards, you could hear these hidden messages, and they came to my office quite scared, wanting to know what I thought about it, and I promptly laughed and poo-pooed the whole thing. I thought it was someone's overactive imagination. that does cues. Enough, I went home that night and I rewired a tape player and started to run some of these records backwards, and sure enough, I could hear what they were hearing. And I was pretty much hooked from that day, and it wasn't for 3 months later that I actually found it in human speech, which really brought a whole new dimension to the research. It's one thing to find the music, but to suddenly hear these messages in speech adds a whole other dimension.
So let's move a little bit forward. You made these discoveries, and how then did you apply that knowledge into formulating a way to use reverse speech by recording people's voices?
Oh, right. Well, I spent 3 years from 84 through to 87 before I started using it professionally. I spent 3 years researching it and looking at it, and then it just sort of graduated on. It seemed, my natural profession being a counsellor, it seemed fairly logical that I could apply this to my counselling work. I experimented at first in 1987 with working with clients, and I'd have people come in and talk about their problems and their issues, and I'd take them. And we would get a very accurate transcript when I would go analyse a tape of exactly what's caused the problem, and in some cases we would even get suggestions for cures, how to go about fixing the issue. And see, this is one of the amazing things about reverse speech. Because it's coming from the unconscious mind, which occupies over 95% of total consciousness, it's tapping into a wealth of knowledge that the unconscious mind has. So, you know, its applications in therapy were fairly obvious, and I started using it in forensics in 1988. I actually worked, did some analysis for the New South Wales Police on the Cess Walters murder case, and this was back in 1988. And the reversals revealed a very accurate picture of how the murder was done, including the type of gun used. And so it was then that we saw the obvious applications in forensic work. So it just really developed from there. And I moved over to the United States to live in 1989 and lived and taught and lectured in America for 10 years. And I've been back home now for 7, and you know, I still use it in therapy. A lot of my some of my trained analysts are using it in police forensic work now. The Oregon State Police have used reverse speech on a couple of occasions. So it's all very exciting.
It is very exciting. How has it been for you as an inventor to take this technology and then try to bring it to the world and sort of, you know, navigate your way around sort of being an entrepreneur as well?
That's actually a very interesting question. I've never had anyone ask me that before. I had to, as well as being a researcher, researching reverse speech, I also had to be an entrepreneur and a marketing man to get reverse speech out there. You know, I really followed some fairly simple formulas, and I had a bit of luck on my side. I was fortunate enough to find some fairly controversial reversals on Bob Hawke in 1988, and I issued a press release, and the Aussie press picked it up, and I got a fair bit of media coverage over that. And a very similar thing happened to me in the United States when I found some controversial reversals on George Bush, George Bush Sr. This is back in the early 90s. And so I've been able to pick up some good media coverage over the years, which have obviously got the word out there. And, you know, you just follow some simple steps. You issue press releases, you run adverts in newspapers, and, you know, it's all fairly basic ABCs of marketing, really.
It sounds like you've dealt with it pretty well. I don't think that many inventors deal with that process that well, to be honest. And it's really good that you've been able to transfer your skills into that arena to make it something that more people can find out about. Although I still don't think enough people know about reverse speech.
No, it's actually surprisingly enough, given all the coverage I've had, it's been, particularly in Australia, it's pretty much an unknown phenomenon. It's probably more known in America. But I really haven't had a great deal of press coverage in Australia since I've been home. I've been very busy personally, seeing clients and training students. But that's a question that is often asked of me: is why isn't reverse speech more well known?
Why aren't you know, the Secret Service knocking on your door and saying, we need this technology, we need to be able to do reversals on people,
right,
you know, who are our enemies, and find out what they're thinking, etc. It just seems so obvious to me.
You're certainly asking all the right questions. I've been a little bit disappointed, I must admit, at the slow movement of it. I'm a little bit disappointed that it hasn't been picked up by the police force more than what it has. Now, like I say, the Oregon State Police has been using it. They've used it on about a half a dozen cases that I'm aware of. So that's one positive step forward. But why there hasn't been more of an interest, I'm unsure. I think if anyone was to seriously analyse the evidence that I've compiled, and a lot of it's up on my website at reversespeech.com, huge site, you can spend a whole lot of time there. If anyone was to look at the evidence, certainly you've got to ask some very serious questions, you know, that is there something to this? And I think the problem is a credibility problem. I think people, it's a bit like saying the world is round. You know, I'm saying people speak in reverse. Now, if you understand the complementary functions of the human mind, that's not surprising because we know that the left and right brain hemispheres are mirror images. We know that sight is reversed by the lenses, the eyes, of course, processed by the human brain. And so to say that speech is bilevel, I don't think is a huge big leap of faith. But anyway, a lot of people do.
I find it totally amazing that people grapple with that. It seems really obvious to me, especially when you think about all of the junk DNA or so-called junk DNA that exists in our genome, that's basically latent codings waiting to be unlocked. Our faculties, we're operating on 5% of our brain power. What could we imagine if we were able to activate even 5% more? So speaking backwards, being able to process speech backwards, easy.
Yep.
I think, yep. And considering the thousands of reversals that you've catalogued on your website, which are really just phenomenal, it's very, very easy to see that there has to be something to this, particularly when you see the babies and what they're saying when they can't even speak forwards.
Some of the children's reversals are just awesome. Point of fact, you know, I've often had people come up to me after I've given lectures and said to me, you know, I was skeptical until you started playing the kids' reversals, and they really got me. So there's something about the children's reversals. We'll look at some of them as the show goes on.
I absolutely can't wait to get into that portion of the show. But before we go there, I just wanted to get you to explain the process. When you record someone speaking, you then go away and play the tape backwards, essentially. And I guess now that you have digital processing, it makes the whole process a lot easier than it may have been when you first began. But would you explain to the listeners what you actually do when you record someone speaking and then try and do a reversal?
Well, we've got software now, so we use it's all done on computer. I'll record someone for a half an hour. If I'm recording them on the phone, I'm recording directly into my computer. Then it's just a matter of working through the tape step by step. I'll play about 15 or 20 seconds forward, and then I'll reverse at that 15 or 20 seconds and document what I hear. Then I'll move on to the next 15 or 20 seconds, and then the next, and it's just a step-by-step process of playing the tape forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards. And, you'll find about two or three good reversals in every minute of tape. In point of fact, that's actually one of the reasons some people have been discouraged from doing reverse loop, because it's very much a hard yakka process. You've got to sit at your desk with the headphones on. Now, it'll take me 3 or 4 hours to analyse a 30-minute tape. So it's a time-intensive process as well.
It sounds like you need some new software that can help isolate the actual reversals by detecting changes in the waveform or something like that. It'd be nice if you could have something like that, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would just be my ultimate dream. I believe it is possible. We did start some initial development when I was in the United States, but we never proceeded with it, unfortunately. I believe that would be possible. We need a little bit of a bigger budget than what we've got now, though.
Yes, I can imagine. And tell me about the congruence between what people are saying forwards and then what you're hearing in the reversals.
Oh, right, yes. So we call that the principle of complementarity, and by that I mean the forwards and the reverse completely relate to each other. So what is said backwards will relate directly to what is being said forwards. And, you know, that's one of the things that convinced me initially back in the very early days that this was a valid and real phenomenon, because you did have this direct relationship between the forwards and the reverse dialogue. And it's quite ironic, actually the very first reversal that I ever found in human speech, we'll play this in a little while, was on Neil Armstrong as he was walking on the moon. And I actually didn't know I was listening to Neil Armstrong. I actually had a compilation of famous radio broadcasts. They were little 30-second sound bites, and I was running the tape backwards, and I suddenly heard this really clear phrase. It said, "Man will spacewalk," and I go, "Wow, what was that?" And then I played it forwards, and I heard Neil Armstrong walking on the moon, and that was a really quite an exciting moment to hear that reversal without actually knowing it was Neil Armstrong, because when you're running it backwards, you can't hear what's being said forwards. And so there's this direct relationship, we call it the principle of complementarity, where the forwards and the reverse relate to and complement each other.
Mm. We're speaking with David John Oates, and when we come back, we're going to get into some of these fabulous reversals that he has for us, including reversals from children, from some of our most famous politicians, music artists, and celebrities. So that's all coming up when Otherwhere returns. You're listening to BBS Radio with my guest, David John Oates from ReverseSpeech.com, and my name is Liz Miller. Thank you.
Hi, this is Colleen Nicholson, an animal communicator in Syracuse, New York. And when I'm listening to the radio, searching for thought-provoking topics to listen on, I check into Otherwhere from bbsradio.com with Liz Miller.
Downloading Otherwhere.
You're listening to Otherwhere on bbsradio.com, and my name is Liz Miller. Welcome, David. We're back on the air, and reversespeech.com is the website to find your work. But now let's have a listen to some of the reversals that you've found, and let's begin with some music reversals.
Yeah, I think music's always a good place to start, because that's really what everyone initially associates it with, is those backward messages in music. So let's start with, and this is a really good example on Creedence Clearwater Revival. We'll run it forwards. Here we go. And we run this in reverse, and he says, I believe in my cool woman. And again. Did you hear that one there?
Wow, that sounds like he's even singing backwards.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's one of the great things about music reversal is yeah, they have this definite musical tone behind them. Here's one. Which one? Here's one on, this is Eric Clapton, the song Cocaine. Here we go, we're on it forwards. And he simply says in reverse, I'm so wicked. Did you hear that one there?
I did.
So he's obviously flashing back to some of his cocaine experiences. Let me see if I can find another one that's got a really musical... this one here, this is Sting. Let's run this forward. And you can hear the melody backwards, he's singing in reverse. He scared me hidden, hear me, please. He scared me hidden, hear me, please.
You scared me hidden, hear me, please.
You can hear the hear me, please. Mm-hmm. It's got this real sort of sing-song tone to it.
Yes. And yeah. That actually brings up the point of accents when you hear reversals. You often hear people speaking in accents when they're reversed as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, accents are quite pronounced in reverse. And even indeed, when we get to the deeper aspects of reverse speech, the reversals themselves can change in their wording depending on culture to culture. Mm. That's a whole other topic altogether. But some of the accents are very, very obvious. Yeah. Yeah, let's play. This is the very first reversal I ever heard on human speech, and we talked about this earlier. This is Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. So let's run this forward.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll play it backwards. It's three speeds. He says, man will spacewalk.
Man will spacewalk.
And once more. And here is forwards.
That's one small step for man.
And backwards. And you can hear that fairly clearly, I would imagine.
Well, that must have made you jump out of your skin the first time you heard that.
Oh, it did. Oh, look, I can still remember the day I heard that. It was like, whoa, what was that? That was the very first reversal I heard in speech.
A very auspicious reversal, may I say.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, very significant. And I still play that one in probably every lecture I do. It's always the first reversal I play. I've become quite attached to it over the years. All right. Here, look, we talked about kids. Let's play you a wonderful reversal. This is on a four-year-old girl. A boy. Actually, I'm not sure now. Anyway, let's play it. And we run it backwards, and you'll hear the gibberish in reverse, and then it's very clear, hello. And again. You hear the hello there?
Yeah, that's fabulous.
Isn't that amazing, hey?
It's great how you just get that little, it's so clear, and it's right at the end, and it's so obviously different to the rest.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the great things about reversals is they have this very quite distinctive tone or melody to them.
Mm.
Right? And here's another one on kids. This is actually my own daughter at 12 months of age, and she's playing in a bath, and she's trying to pick up a cup. She can't pick it up, so she reaches out to me for help. And backwards it says, David, help me. Did you hear that one there?
Yeah, that's very clear.
That's as clear as day, isn't it? Yeah, let's play it one more time for those who might have missed it. Couldn't ask for it to be much clearer than that.
No, not really. And how long after you recorded that did you actually pick that one up?
It would have probably been the same day or the same week. You know, I used to take them on a fairly regular basis when they first came. These were my kids, and when they first came home from hospital, I used to take them on a fairly regular basis and do the tapes
Were they the first reversals on children that you ever did?
Yes, they were. Yeah, I was just amazed to find these little reversals on my own kids saying, Mummy, Daddy, hungry, help. And it was really very exciting.
One of the most exciting things about this discovery for me is that our children are able to understand us completely from the moment they're born, and probably while they're in the womb, they're understanding everything that we're saying that they can hear through mummy's tummy. So speaking to children in baby talk may not be really what they need. Maybe they need us to speak to them properly.
Yeah, that's certainly that's one of the great things that my research has shown is that children are aware at a far earlier age than what they originally thought. I mean, they're speaking in reverse from 4 months of age, so they're processing and comprehending at least on an unconscious level all their environment and surroundings. And you can't hide things from your kids. I had a really rude awakening to this when I went over to Merida to live. Initially, my children weren't coming. They did later on, but that's another story. And just before we left, they had their second birthday party, and we taped the birthday party, and they were all happy and playing and joking forward. But in reverse, we got this completely different reversal. They were quite angry and upset at me for going away. Now, we hadn't told them that I was going to the United States yet. But yet, they obviously knew on an unconscious level that, you know, clearly we'd been telling them in my own reversals. And, and so that was a real eye-opener for me to see these reversals among the generality of a second birthday party, that they already knew that we were going to be, that I was going to be moving away.
Goodness me. So this brings up a point that I've wanted to ask you about, and that's the way that you can use reversals to look into what's happening in the future. Whether the person is unconsciously or consciously thinking about that subject, you know, I'll give you an example. When the lead-up to the Iraq war was happening, there were a lot of speeches on television from President Bush, who was saying quite clearly things forwards like, we don't know whether we're going in. We haven't made any decisions yet. Whereas backwards, he was very, very clearly saying, we will sit in Baghdad.
And I was just about to get that reverse on play. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so, you know, from where I was sitting, even though it wasn't announced yet in any of the mainstream outlets, I knew that there was going to be a war and it was going to start very, very soon, as did many other people who heard those reversals. And your children were, I mean, they're connected to you, so of course they must have felt on some level that there was going to be a separation, whether you were consciously sending that message to them or not. Let's talk a little bit about that aspect, and would you play that reversal for us of George Bush, please? That'd be great.
Oh, yeah, I've got that right here. Here we are. Okay, he's talking forward about having a new government in Iraq, and this was before the Iraq war.
We'll help that nation to build a just government after decades of brutal dictatorship. The form and leadership of that government is for the Iraqi people to choose.
And the backwards, he says, we will sit in Baghdad.
We will sit in Baghdad.
We will sit in Baghdad. We will sit in Baghdad.
They're plain as day. So clearly America had designs and they were already planning on going in. The decision had already been made. They were just letting some of the diplomatic issues run their course first, I would imagine.
So, really, reverse speech can be quite an essential tool in being able to gauge what's really going on in the world out there. And I know you certainly spend some time during your working hours, you know, gauging what's going on out there through your reversals. Tell me about what you've been finding lately, and particularly with the Lebanon conflict. There's nearly a million people who've been displaced now. It's so horrific what's going on. Have you been able to
well, no, I haven't. I've got a tape of a Bush-Blair press meeting all ready to go, and in point of fact, my training, I'm going away this weekend for training class, and we're going to spend part of the weekend analysing that tape. So you've asked me just a couple of days too soon on that, but we will have some answers on that very soon.
That's okay. Anything else in the current climate that you can tell us about that you've been able to pick up?
Current climate. Let me go and have a look at some of my current reversals. No, see, unfortunately, I've been actually fairly busy with session work the last few months, and I haven't had as much time as I would like to look at the current reversals, but I do have some, and I'm just having a look and seeing what I've got. Oh, here's George Bush talking about your, let's play it forward.
Billion hours of paperwork and headache every year. The American people deserve and our economic future demands a simpler, fairer, pro-growth system.
Okay, now he's just giving a general speech, but backwards he says, demonic Iran.
Come on, Iran.
So we know that Iran is on his thoughts and on his mind.
Yes.
Clearly not happy with them, whether he goes in or not. I don't know. It's hard to tell from that reversal, but that reversal doesn't show immediate action like we will sit in Baghdad, but it certainly shows that currently Iran is heavily on George Bush's mind. He just probably hasn't decided yet what action he's going to take.
How easy is it actually to find reversals on certain people? Are certain individuals harder to get reversals on than others?
Yes, that is true. Some people have a very clear and very frequent reversals. Others are a lot harder. Why that is so, I don't know. It's one of the peculiarities of the phenomenon, I guess.
Do you think that perhaps reading a written speech that had been pre-prepared as opposed to speaking off the top of your head would make a difference?
Oh, yeah, that does make a big difference. Reversals are occurring most frequently in very relaxed, casual conversations where you're not planning or choosing what you're going to say. You're just chatting away. If someone's reading a prepared speech, you'll get very few reversals. Now, we believe this is because reverse speech is coming from the right brain. And so the more right brain you are in your speech, i.e. the more relaxed, the more comfortable, or the more emotional, then the greater will be the occurrence of speech reversals.
So it would be perfect then in your clinical hypnotherapy work. You have people lying down and very, very relaxed. And so the reversals must come thick and fast.
Oh, sure. Reversals in a hypnotic state are very frequent and very clear.
Okay. Can we hear a couple more children reversals? I know that you've probably got
a
couple more in your
archive. Yes, I think we could do that. Here's a cute one. This is a little girl playing with some ducks.
We haven't seen a duck. No,
and back when she says, just love to be a friend.
Just love to be a friend.
Do you hear that one there?
Oh, that's so sweet.
Isn't that a great one?
That is.
Yeah,
it's so clear. She says every single word perfectly backwards.
Yeah, that's right. You can hear all the syllables and everything you want. Here's another one on a child. This is a really good one too. This is an 8-year-old girl, and she's telling us about her schoolwork, and she's telling us about all the subjects she's good at, and then she's about to tell us a subject she's not good at, and I want you to notice a little slip of tongue. I'll actually stop the tape and point it out.
I'm quite good at this. And I'm quite good at math and English, but I'm sorry.
Hear that little slip of the tongue? But I'm not.
I'm sorry.
But she's changed her mind.
I don't know anything else.
And when she has that little slip of the tongue and she's about to tell us the subject she's not good at, back what she says, I'm not telling.
I'm not telling.
Very clear. So right in this little slip of the tongue.
I'm not.
Right there. That reverses to say, I'm not telling.
I'm not telling.
And so, isn't that amazing, hey?
It is.
Yeah, that's just a great example. And we often find reversals occurring in the little slips of tongue or the pauses and stutters and stammers of speech.
Well, that would be when the cogs are turning, you know. And,
right.
You know, in the subconscious, and decisions are being made in the conscious mind as well about, do I let this out, do I not? And so it makes perfect sense that that's when you'd have the reversal occurring. How fascinating.
Yes, it is. Yes, it certainly is.
And I am really keen to ask you about the JonBenet Ramsey case, because this is one that I followed personally, as well as many, many other people around the world. There was never a clear verdict. They were acquitted. However, there was, you know, a lot of suspicious circumstances around the death, and still no real clear answers on who else it could have been if it weren't the parents. So, you know, when you're finding reversals on people like the parents of JonBenet Ramsey, I'm sure there are slips in the reversals that really give the people away.
Well, the cases have never actually gone to court. It went before a grand jury, and they didn't indict the parents.
Yes.
So it's still a big mystery. There's been no charges laid, and no one knows who did it. And of course, Patsy Ramsey, JonBenet's mother, just died very recently of cancer. So I don't know whether you're aware of that. But yes, she died. Oh, just last month, I think. So that's the latest. But here she is. Here is Patsy Ramsey, who is talking on TV, talking about the death of her daughter.
We feel like there are at least six people on the face of this earth that know who did this. And that is the killer and someone that person may have confided in.
And backwards, she tells us who the person is, and she simply says, I'm that person.
I'm hypnotic.
Very clear reversal, and a very chilling reversal.
What has been the most chilling reversal that you've ever found?
Oh, dear. That's a toss-up between two or three. Here's one that's a fairly chilling one. This is on the chat name of Scott Peterson, who's currently on death row, who was convicted of murdering his wife.
Yes.
And he's being interviewed on TV, and a reporter says, did you murder your wife?
Did you murder your wife?
No, I did not. And I have absolutely nothing to do with her disappearance.
Now, where he's denying it, he also just played this again forward.
No, I did not.
Backwards, he says, neck, I hit hard. And I got chills when I found this reversal. Here it is.
Neck, I hit hard.
You hear that there?
Oh, the intonation is really evil as well.
Oh, it is. Yes, it's got this really creepy feel to it. And interestingly enough, when his wife's body was found, she was decapitated.
That's right.
And they never did find the head.
When did you find that reversal? Had he been put on death row at that point yet?
No. I found that reversal, I think, just before his trial began. And as a result of that and several others I found on Scott Peterson, I put a tag up on my website and said reverse streaks indicate Scott Peterson is guilty. And, of course, he was eventually found guilty by the jury. So, you know, no, I found that one, I'm sure it was before the trial started, right back in the early stages. All his reversals were very incriminating, so that was a pretty creepy one.
What is it like for you, David, when you find incriminating reversals like that long before someone has gone before the jury and you are convinced that, you know, they are guilty? What is it, frustrating? Do you try and get in touch with the families or anyone connected with the people? Tell me about that process.
Yeah, frustration is probably a very good word to describe it when I find reversals such as that, because I say, hey, listen, look, we've got the answers right here, you know. Listen to me. I remember when I found all the reversals on the Ramseys, I contacted the Boulder police and tried to get them interested. I don't know, I sent them the files. I never heard back from them, though. There is a feeling of frustration about it, and there's a current case going on right now concerning there's a girl in Aruba went missing, and they've have interviewed several suspects, but at this stage yet they don't have anyone who they have charged or even gotten close to charging with the crime. And yet I've got reversals on the suspect that quite obviously, and I'm just trying to pull this up now while I'm speaking to you, that quite obviously point to who did the killing. And that gets frustration. It gets very frustrating because I want to get the word out. Like here's this case now. He's a suspect in the killing, but he's been released. I'm on this board.
Because he doesn't have any driver's license, but not all of them.
And this reversal says, "What a murder!"
What a murder!
What? Oh, sing I'm not playing again today.
What a murder!
What a murder!
And what's more?
What a murder!
And I've got several other law reversals on him like that. And this is a case that's currently going now.
Mm.
Now, I've actually contacted the Aruban authorities, but no one rang me back. And I've got reversals. They're still looking for the body, and I've got reversals indicating that it's been buried in the sand dunes.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
Yeah, so that gets frustrating.
Yeah.
When I'm sitting on really pertinent information that I know will help the authorities in a case, and yet the technology is not taken seriously enough yet.
And considering that it's not a technology that would even cost a lot to implement, would it?
The actual equipment itself is cheap. I mean, the software is only $79, so that's a very cheap price. So you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to get involved in it. But the real skill comes, of course, is in finding the reversals and interpreting them.
Yeah, and spending the time going through all of that audio.
Yes, indeed.
Well, David, let's take a break, and when we come back, let's get into some of those reversals of Australian politicians that you've discovered, because I'm certainly interested in hearing those, especially that one from Bob Hawke.
Yes, we can do that.
Great. And when we come back, we'll be joined again with David John Oates from ReverseSpeech.com. This is Liz Miller, and you're listening to Otherwhere.
Thank you.
been listening to the Masters at Work flute instrumental remix of Give It Up from the Rain, a Little Lewis painting EP on King Street Records. And you can find that on the web at our proud sponsor's website, kingstreetsounds.com.
And we're back. You're tuned in to bbsradio.com. This is Otherware, which is a show that describes anything that activates, enhances, or evolves your inner spiritual technologies. And I think reverse speech would definitely have to come under the banner of one of our inner technologies. It's something that our brain is obviously very capable of doing, and we're speaking to the man who has brought reverse speech to the world. His name is David John Oates. Welcome back to the show. David, you've been compared to Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, and Nikola Tesla, and your work has been described by some as being of Nobel Prize-winning caliber. And it's got very far-reaching ramifications in fields such as law and psychology, as we've discussed. Are there any fields that we haven't discussed as yet that you can see reverse speech just working beautifully in?
Oh, well, no, we've discussed the major fields. There's certainly therapy and forensic, getting in contact with the young child's mind a lot earlier than we have done previously. I think its applications in working with children and child development is very exciting. You know, I've been able to get reversals on severely handicapped children who can't speak, but they're just talking in groans and grunts, and I've got a couple of quite clear reversals in those situations. So it's also got applications in getting in contact with getting established communication with people who can't even speak properly yet. So,
have you done any work with autistic children?
I haven't personally. One of my analysts in Adelaide has, and I'm unsure at what stage that she is at, but I know that she has found it very beneficial, but I am not current up to date with her work. So.
Well, I just think it's incredible that if this is an opportunity for people, especially the parents of disabled children, to communicate with them on some level and be able to hear them for the first time, that's a huge gift that you're giving those people.
Oh, it's just magical. Point of fact, look, I should actually play you a really significant reversal. If I can just put my hands on it real quickly, this is from a 13-year-old girl who's been nonverbal since birth, and she basically speaks in groans. And when I came back from America, the mother contacted me and sent me a tape. Now here's a section of the tape, and you'll hear how she's speaking in forward speech. We'll play it backwards, and she says, "Mummy, love you." Now, this is a 13-year-old girl, okay. Let's play it one more time. Quick, Mummy. That's the Mummy, and love you. Now, this mum was in tears when I played the reversal.
Of course she would be.
Yeah. Wow. First time she's heard her daughter talk, and it's in this wonderful Mummy, love you.
Wow. Now let's talk about some of the things that people actually say in reverse, because they aren't always as clear as that, Mummy, I love you. Sometimes they are speaking in kind of like metaphors, aren't they? People use a lot of symbols in their reverse speech.
Yes, particularly when we're talking, when we get down to therapy and behavioural patterns, metaphors become very common in reverse language, using words like wolf, lancelot, goddess, garden of Eden, and I've developed a whole theory surrounding these metaphors that the unconscious mind thinks in pictures and images or metaphor, and And a lot of these metaphors describe human behavior, like if someone's lacking motivation, they might say in reverse, I have a sick wolf. And the wolf in reverse is a metaphor for our motivation. And the way I work with these metaphors is through the use of hypnosis. I will place my client in a hypnotic trance and ask him to see this sick wolf. And then through various means, we will actually cure the wolf. And as we cure the wolf under hypnotic trance, we're changing the metaphor in the unconscious, and we're also changing the behavior. So I work with my clients with the metaphors using a form of visualization. And as we can change the pictures or the metaphor, then so we change the behavior associated with that metaphor.
How interesting. Were you drawing upon dream symbology much when you came to try to interpret what these metaphors were trying to say?
Yeah, it was a really long process, and I still am puzzled over some metaphors, what they mean. It's an evolving process. I drew on the Carl Jung a lot. I drew on the common dream images. But many times I actually use the forward speech itself in reversal to help me determine what the reversal meant. You would find the same reversal appearing several times under very similar circumstances, and using the principle of complementarity that we discussed earlier, I was able to many times work out exactly what the reversal meant based on the forward dialogue.
That would make a lot of sense. And have there been reversals where there has been an incongruence between what is being said forwards and backwards? Does that come up much?
Oh yeah, sure. Especially when you're working with politicians. You find some real incongruent reversals here. One of them, play one. This is actually a presidential candidate from last presidential election, and he's having a go at George Bush for negative campaign attacks.
But what did we see?
Relentless negative attacks against John.
So in the weeks ahead, we know what's going to happen.
More negative attacks. Aren't you sick of it? Well, he says, more negative attacks. Aren't you sick of it? He says in reverse, I'd do it again.
I'd do it again.
And again. So there's an obvious contradictory reversal. He's having a go at George Bush, but he's going to do the same thing.
Let's have a listen to some of these Australian ones. Bob Hawke, I believe you found a great one on him.
Oh, yeah, this was a real funny one. We found this in 1988. I don't know if you can remember back that far, but Bob Hawke ran for re-election on the campaign that had given up drinking and all his wayward lifestyles, okay? So he's just won the election, and a reporter jokingly says, well, how do you plan to celebrate, Mr. Hawke?
What's your celebration plan now?
Several cups of tea. And where he says several cups of tea, backwards he says, used to smoke the best marijuana. And again. You hear that one there?
I can hear it perfectly.
Yeah, so that was quite an amusing reversal, and it got me a lot of airplay coverage in Australia at the time.
I can imagine. Now, our current Prime Minister, John Howard, has, I guess you could call it a close relationship with President Bush over there in the States.
Yes.
Have you come across any reversals during conversations that they've had where maybe the two of them have appeared during a press conference or anything like that?
No, I really haven't. I know what you're asking me, and no, I don't have any reversals on Howard talking with Bush.
Okay, and what about just John Howard on his own?
Oh, yeah, a couple. I've actually, John Howard on his own is a bit tough to play because he uses a lot of four-letter words, if you can believe that.
Really?
So, I know. And I don't know whether you want me to play any of
them. I'm sure we can play those.
You do? All right, okay. Here's one on Howard just after the Bali bombings.
I've been informed by the relevant intelligence agencies that the only possibly relevant reference to Bali in recent intelligence reporting was its inclusion, along with a number of other tourist and cultural locations across Indonesia.
And he says in reverse, they will F the tourists.
They'll look like the tourists.
They'll look like the tourists. And
then he says, tourists will suffer.
Yeah, tourists will suffer.
Yeah, tourists will suffer.
And of course, that's exactly what's happened. So he knew back then that we were in for tough times in Indonesia. And since he made that speech, we've had two other bombings in Indonesia. So he was quite accurate. And he obviously had information available to him that told him that.
Mm. Now let's go back into some history for a moment, and I know that you've got some brilliant reversals from people like Martin Luther King and Marilyn Monroe. Let's have a listen to a couple of those.
All right, well, here's a great one of Marilyn Monroe. We'll play this forward.
Martin says, I'm gonna find my claim.
And in reverse, she sings, he'll come out full of magic. And again. Okay, there's a nice verse on that one. Here's one of Martin Luther King's in one of his famous speeches.
To speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
And back as he says, the Lord, he does believe.
The Lord, he does believe. The Lord, he does believe.
And again.
The Lord, he does believe.
So he's been very congruent in what he's saying there, and basically saying that, I guess you could almost interpret it as a God is on our side. And here's another one where he's trying to rally the people around him.
Go back to Louisiana, go back to the slums and ghettos around northern cities.
And that was, he says, organize a unit.
Organize a unit. Organize a unit.
And again.
Organize a unit.
So there you go, there's a couple of historical reversals on Martin Luther King.
Oh, and I know that you've probably been able to uncover a few secrets in the hallways of NASA as well through some reversals you've discovered. I'd be very interested in hearing about those.
Yes, well, we've got a few of them. Here we have one from a press conference given by the Air Force, and they were denying that anything had happened in Roswell. And Roswell, for the listeners who aren't aware, was allegedly in 1947 there was a alleged UFO crash in Roswell. And so here he's holding a press conference denying that it ever happened.
I'm sorry, I just don't have any information for that. All I know is what the Air Force did, and if you overlay much of their claims and you look at the Air Force scientific research, you can see it's obvious that what we're talking about at Roswell.
And he says that was share a secret with NASA.
Share a secret with NASA.
Share a secret with NASA. Share a secret with NASA.
So there you go. So that certainly makes you wonder. I
just loved hearing that reversal, considering the way he was speaking forwards, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Being so sweet and innocent.
Yeah.
nothing wrong here, no. And yeah. The reversal says something very, very different.
And here he is again in the same speech talking about a video they're about to show.
Let me read my prepared statement, and then we'll roll a short video that Captain McAndrew will talk about.
And he just simply says, we faked it.
We faked it.
We faked it.
So there you go. You couldn't ask for anything much clearer than that.
So anyone out there who's still wondering about whether Roswell was a real event, I think we now have the answer.
Yes, I think we do.
Yes.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Before I let you go, David, I wanted to ask you about your meta-walks, because we are going to be doing something at the end of the show. I've invited you to take the listeners on a meta-walk with you.
That's right.
And this is something that you've developed through your work with reverse speech, and I'd love it if you could explain to the listeners what exactly a meta-walk is.
All right, well, a meta-walk is actually, the name is a combination of two words, metaphor and walkabout. So we've combined the two to come up with meta-walk. And a meta-walk is essentially a journey through the metaphors and archetypes of the unconscious mind. It's akin to a guided visualization. Many people describe it as a very powerful guided visualization, and I believe that is because we're actually using the metaphors and archetypes that the unconscious mind itself uses. So, all the clients I work with generally have their own unique meta-walks based on their own individual reversals as found in the session transcripts. But I've developed a few generic forms of meta-walks, we will do one of those and let you experience reverse speech at another level.
Fantastic. And I would also love it if we could just very quickly talk about your daughter, Simone. She was in an accident just over 12 months ago in June 2005. At 3 a.m., she fell 70 feet from the top floor of a shopping centre. And the reason why I bring this up is because I've been aware of Simone's accident since it happened, and I've been following her amazing story of recovery ever since, and I would love it if you could just share that with the listeners.
She was out late at night, and she fell three stories straight down. She suffered a very severe traumatic brain injury. The doctors actually only gave her a 50% chance of surviving the night when it happened, so that was tremendously scary, and she was in a coma for 2 weeks. And when she woke up, it was like watching someone gradually come back to life. She couldn't talk for several weeks, and gradually she started speaking a few words here and there, then she had severe memory problems, and we gradually noticed her memory getting better and better. And then she started walking, and more with a frame at first, she's actually made an amazing, remarkable progress. The doctors told us to expect no change for a year. Well, now it's a year later, she's back at school doing a couple of subjects part-time, doing quite well too, and she's home now, of course. I did several meta walks with her. A couple of those are on her website, which is simonerecovery.org. Simone is spelt with a Y, S-Y-M-O-N-E, recovery.org. And you can follow Simone's progress back to health there. And, she's still got a ways to go, but she's come a long way so far, and, we expect her to fully recover.
Yes, please give her all my best. And let her know that she's in my thoughts. And the reason why I wanted to quickly mention Simone and her healing is because it's really an inspirational story of how the power of prayer, as well as many different vibrational therapies, have helped her along her way. And I wanted to make a particular mention of a healer called Adam, who many listeners probably know of. But he has helped tremendously with her healing, hasn't he?
Oh, yes, he has. He was, I think, without the help of Adam, we wouldn't have Simone the way she is now. He's a remarkable young man. And
he has not actually met Simone, has he?
No, he lives in Canada, and he did remote healing with her. We just made sure we had the room already at the time that he was doing his remote healing. We were very fortunate to have him work with Simone because he rarely works with individuals. So.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for sharing that with the listeners. And please, if you would like to go and have a look at the website, once again, it is simonerecovery.org. There was one reversal from Michael Jackson. I was wondering, did you find that?
Yes, I did.
I would love it if you could play that for us before.
All right, here we go. This is with the advent of Superman Returns. And he says in the verse, Superman is a dick. So there you go. And it's ironic, you know, that song actually probably came out around about the time that the first Superman movies came out. So,
really?
Well, sure, that was back in the early 80s, and I think... the first Superman movies were in the late 70s or early 80s?
Early 80s, I believe.
So that corresponded with that coming out.
Well, I think I'm a bit relieved, actually, that the reversal, which contains the word dick, came out a long, long, long time before any of the recent troubles that he's had. David, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for giving us your time and sharing those reversals with us.
You're most welcome.
Could you tell the listeners if they would like to find out more, and especially if they would like to learn how to become reverse speech therapists themselves, what they might do and how they can find out more?
Yes, you can always contact me through my website, www.reversespeech.com. Our office number in Adelaide is area code 08 8382 4372. That's 08-8382-4372. If you're interested in any information about reverse speech, you strongly recommend a visit to the website, because the website is a massive site with hundreds of articles, thousands of reversals, so you can lose yourself searching through the reverse speech website. And you can always email me directly. My email address is backwards@reversespeech.com.
Wonderful. Well, when we come back, David will be taking us all on a metal walk. You're listening to Otherwhere with David John Oates and Liz Miller. Back in just a moment.
Hi there, this is Duncan Rhodes from Nexus Magazine, and when I'm listening to internet radio these days, I also choose to listen to Otherwhere with Liz Miller.
Downloading Otherwhere.
And we're back for the final portion of the show. Hope you've all been enjoying our interview with David John Oates and learning about reverse speech. In the last 15 minutes of the show, we are going to be leading you into a guided relaxation. So it's important that if you're driving or anywhere where you may be operating heavy machinery of any kind, that you take a break and come back to this later. It's really important that we have your full attention and that you feel like you don't have any other distractions to take you away from the work that we're doing. So if you're ready to begin, all you need to do is find somewhere quiet to lie down or sit down with a nice straight back. Relax your shoulders and turn your palms up. Place them 6 to 8 inches away from the sides of your body if you're lying down, or just on your lap if you're sitting. Separate your jaw gently. Relax your tongue. And then draw your chin towards your chest just a little bit so that you can feel the crown of your head extending and the back of your neck lengthening. Then begin to take some deep, long breaths. Let your eyes close, and when you're ready, we can begin. As it's nearly time for us to go, I'm going to sign off now, but please stay with us for the remainder of the show, and I'm going to hand over to Mr. David John Oates. Good night, everybody.
All right, what I'd like everyone to do is to just close your eyes and just take a couple of nice deep breaths in and slowly let the breath out. Nice deep breath in and slowly letting it out. With each breath in, I want you to imagine you're breathing in new life. And with each breath out, you're breathing out the old. So we're starting a cycle of breathing a new life in, followed by old life out. And with each breath that you take, each sound that I make, the conscious mind will gradually begin to slow down, function by function, step by step, whilst the unconscious mind now begins to rise to the surface. Good. I'm going to give you a series of exercises now that will allow the conscious mind the opportunity to completely relax. And as the conscious mind relaxes, so too does the world of the unconscious rise completely to the surface. And to begin this process of relaxation, I want you to concentrate all your attention onto the very center of your forehead. And as you concentrate on the center of the forehead, I want you to imagine all of those muscles are gradually beginning to relax. Tensile anxiety draining completely away now. As the relaxation, your forehead flows down the side of your face, allowing the muscles in the cheeks to relax, muscles around the eyes to relax. Eyes becoming very heavy now. As you sink deeper and deeper and deeper into trance. And we can just imagine this relaxation flowing down the rest of your body. Shoulders and arms relax. Chest and stomach relax. Your hips relax now. Your legs. And finally, your feet. Until the whole body lies perfectly calm now. Just relaxed. The unconscious mind gradually preparing itself to shift and alter in accordance with the images I'm now about to give. Good. Any moment from now, I'll be suggesting to you pictures and images for you to create in your mind. And these pictures are going to represent and directly access their corresponding core metaphorical structures. During this journey, as you experience these pictures, so too will we directly access that part of the mind. And as the pictures change, so too do the structures of the unconscious change. And this allows a corresponding change in the physical world in which you live. And to begin this journey today, I want you to imagine you're walking through a vast desert landscape. Just imagine you can see the sand dunes rolling on for miles and miles. Maybe you can see the occasional cactus or saltbush scattered here and there. And I'm beginning with the desert because in reverse speech, the desert refers to the unconscious mind. So as you see the desert and walk through the desert, so too are you directly connecting with the unconscious mind. I'd like to imagine you can feel the rays, the sun shining down on you, not too bright. And just at a nice, steady temperature. Good. And now, as we walk through the desert, I'm going to introduce you to various of your metaphors. The first metaphor I want you to see is that of the wolf. The unconscious mind accesses the image of the wolf. I want you to imagine you can see your wolf coming up to you. In the first brief, the wolf refers to our motivation, our ability to move forward in life. And I want you to imagine your wolf is, the wolf's head comes up to about your waist. I want you to look into the eyes of your wolf and feel the intensity of his gaze. Run your hands through his fur, making sure he's nice and well groomed. And as you do this, you're going to directly connect with the wolf metaphor inside of you, connecting to your own motivation and your own strength. And now with the wolf by your side, as you continue to walk through the desert, when you access another metaphor now, I want you to look up in the sky and imagine you can see an eagle soaring on the wind. And in reverse speech, the eagle refers to our intuition and our insight, our ability to see ahead. I want you to hold up your arm and allow the eagle to come and
and leg on your arm. You destroy the eagle's feathers. Look into the eyes of the eagle, and as you do this, so you're creating a deeper and more meaningful connection to your own intuition, sharpening it, allowing it to become strong and sure. Now we're going to release the eagle. The eagle flies in the air, flies ahead. The wolf follows the eagle, and you follow the wolf. And this describes a symbiotic relationship of the wolf and the eagle, where your intuition and your motivation work hand in hand to steer and guide you through life. And the eagle flies over the desert and is going to take you across the desert to the other side of the desert, where the metaphor known as the Garden of Eden resides. I want you to imagine the eagle flies into Eden, perches in one of the trees. You and the wolf leave the desert and enter the metaphor known as Eden. I want you to imagine the whole scenery changing now. Green rolling pastures, flowers and trees, birds singing in the trees. As you are now confronted with a whole different atmosphere now. Your conscious mind continuing to shift and alter. Greeting you in Eden, we're going to access another one of your metaphors, and this is the metaphor known as the shepherd. In reverse speech, the shepherd is another metaphor for Christ, or the Savior, the Messiah, go under many names, can be your guide, your spirit guide. I want you to see the shepherd wearing his white robe. I want you to walk up to the shepherd. I want you to embrace the shepherd. And if you embrace the shepherd, I want you to feel his love, his concern, his passion, his energy, all of the amazing qualities that the shepherd has. As the unconscious mind continues to shift and alter. And now the shepherd is going to lead you through the Garden of Eden. He's going to take you to the very center of Eden, where you can see a large whirlwind spinning. And this whirlwind spins around and around and around. And the whirlwind represents your energy, or your life force. To do, let's just stand at the edge of the whirlwind. We're going to walk inside the whirlwind very soon. We're going to do something very magical in the whirlwind, or your own aura and life force. And what I want you to do is I want you to look to the sun now as you stand outside the whirlwind and cup your hand together. I want you to imagine that you are capturing in your hands a small ball of light. You carefully cradle this ball of light in your hands, and you're going to walk into the center of the whirlwind. Finally, you can walk into the whirlwind fairly easily, and once you're in the very center, I want you to release the ball of light
and watch it rise up the wind. What we're doing is we are putting light into your whirlwind. We're activating your spiritual powers, senses, and intuition. See the light rising up to the very top of the whirlwind. Then it seems to spread out across the sky. The unconscious mind shifts and alters very dramatically now. Now we're going to have the other metaphors join you in the whirlwind, the wolf, the eagle, and the shepherd. The whirlwind spins around you. And as it spins, all these parts of you merge together and become one with the whirlwind. The wolf becoming one with the wind. The eagle. The shepherd. And finally, you. The unconscious mind shifts and alters, processing all of these metaphors powerfully and clearly and succinctly. These changes will begin to occur even now as I'm speaking. Now the next few days and weeks, you will notice your intuition, your motivation, your spiritual awareness becoming sharper and more acute. And this is the end of our journey today. I'm going to count from 1 to 5. Bring you back up out of trance. And you'll come back to the room wide awake, fully refreshed. Your conscience will process all these images over the next few days and weeks. On the count of 1, just imagine the images slowly beginning to fade now. And 2, the unconscious mind recedes back to where it was. And 3, breathing and heart rate gradually begin to return to normal. And 4, conscious mind reawakens. And 5, you can open your eyes and come back to awareness, wide awake, and feeling refreshed.
You might want to open your eyes. Just notice there's a bit more of a sparkle around you. And thank you, David. That was absolutely delightful.
Good. That is a shortened version of a meta walk. So there you go.
I do hope that you'll join us again.
Sure.
Fantastic.
Sure will.
All right. Well,
okay.
Take good care, David, and we'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.